Hello, sisters and seekers. I'm here with sisters.
Hello, sisters.
Hello, sisters.
So we're just going to share some scriptures or thoughts today like we have been doing. Praise God. All to his glory. I'm going to talk about loving our neighbor. And what made me think about this is the other day I had sister and I, we had a witnessing encounter with a woman who came up to Brother Zelos. And after we were done with it, I started pondering about things, and because we always want to learn from our experiences. And I was thinking about how my witnessing has changed over the years. And I remember in the beginning when I used to listen to my witnessing audios, I sounded kind of, because I'm kind of a passionate person and I can talk fast, my voice kind of sounded sharp, and I want to sound loving and be blameless, but yet still speak with an authority and a boldness. And so I was blessed the other day when a woman said, I can't remember her exact words. Do you remember she said?
I kind of remember what she said. She just said, I see in your eyes that you care. I don't see any deception there.
Thank you, because I couldn't remember exactly what she said. And so it really blessed me because we all learn as we go, and we can't change our voice, and we can't change some characteristics about ourselves, but we can refine and try to be the best witness we can. So it made me think of loving our neighbor. And that was one of the ways I was doing it. But more importantly, the way to love your neighbor is, we're going to read through. First, I'm going to read a handful of scriptures about loving your neighbor, and then just a simple little explanation at the end in the scriptures that show it to us. So Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Mark 12:32-34. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there are more, but I just grabbed those. And I was thinking, how do we love God? And here's a simple answer on it. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commands. That's what Jesus said. So if we love him, we're to keep his commands. And how could we love our neighbor? I'm going to give a simple example. One example how we can love it. It would be one of the greatest examples we can do. Mark 10:21. This is about the rich man who asked Jesus what he must do to enter the kingdom of God. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And what I wanted to point out is, notice it says Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and then what? He corrected him. He told him what he needed to hear, what he needed to do. And so we can love our neighbor the best way by sharing the gospel and making disciples in his word if they heed to it, if they repent and they're born again and they follow after him in holiness and obedience. We can help transform them into disciples if they're willing to be learning and seeking. We teach them the word. We hold them accountable to the word. We encourage, we edify, we rebuke. That's loving our neighbor. And then we also help those who are seeking by preaching the gospel and helping them understand it. And so I just wanted to share that, just some encouragement on loving our neighbor. So being kind to your neighbor, helping your neighbor, but the most important thing would be what? The gospel and the truth in Christ. Amen. Amen.
I love that.
Yeah, amen.
That's what it's basically the second command, and it shows when you love your neighbor, it shows that you love God.
Amen.
That you love God first, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Yes, good reminder.
It is.
Sorry, I can't hear you. I didn't hear what you said, but anyway, yeah, that's so important. The two greatest commandments. So,
yep, that's basically what she was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess I'll share mine if you don't have any.
Yeah, sure.
More. Okay. Yeah. So I just have two passages in scripture. So the first one is 1 Peter 1:22-23. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And I just love that. We've been purifying, our souls are purified through obedience to the truth. And then we love the brethren with unfeigned love and fervently. It's not passive or dead or just niceties, you know, it's fervent. And then the second passage of scripture I have is Romans 8:1-6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I was just thinking of living in van life while being in full-time ministry, and the Christian life, no matter where you are, there is lots of flesh killing to do, but if you walk in the Spirit, you overcome and press through, and it becomes a joy and not a burden to walk in the Lord. No matter what you need to do, in whatever area you need to kill your flesh in, if you walk in the Spirit will rise you up and you can rejoice to walk in Him.
Amen. I'm nodding my head and smiling, saying amen. I'll say that. I'll back that up. Absolutely. In every area of your life, if you're walking in the Spirit, whether it's a life that you have hard troubles in or a life that's one that's not too hard to get through, the Spirit's going to rise you up in either one if you're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. Yeah. We want to crucify that flesh. We hate it. That's awesome.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good scripture.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
As all scriptures are, but
they are, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome to bring up all these ones to remind us.
Right, amen. We love reminders.
So first scripture reminded me of this scripture, Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So that goes along with your topic, Sister Armin, about loving our neighbour, do good unto all men. And then you read from 1 Peter, Sister Cara, about especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So, you know, it's not partiality, but, you know, they're our spiritual family. And, yeah, just remind me of that scripture.
Right. And I just want to say this. None of us knew what any of us was really going to share ahead of time. And so it's all kind of interlinking together, isn't it? That's
it
awesome.
Is.
Praise God.
Yeah. You see that more and more, how interrelated all the scriptures are in all the Christian life. And, you know, there's so many different, when something's going wrong or something, there's so many different, if that makes sense,
yeah,
scriptures
right.
that are applicable.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, is it my turn?
Oh, yeah, yep, it is.
Okay, so I just have some scriptures generally on the subject of some of the Lord's parables about him giving us work to do. Well, there's two of them. But anyway, let me just go instead of trying to put a title on it.
Okay, yeah.
Mark 13:34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. I love that. As a man taking a far journey, left his house, gave authority to his servants and every man his work. We've got work to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that is
and
a good
reminded me of this scripture, Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? You know, it's just sometimes deeper things to ponder in these scriptures about being his house. Like, yeah. And then I have Luke 2:48-49. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And, you know, that's when he was 12 years old in the temple. I love that. And thinking about how we too are about our father's business, or we ought to be, and, you know, no time for this, for the things of the world. And, you know, the world doesn't understand that. But, we are seeking first his kingdom and righteousness.
Right.
So
amen.
That's that one.
I want to jump in there real quick on that one. I love that, to think about a 12-year-old going about the business of God.
Yeah.
It just shows that you have to be trained from the little ones, thinking about Sister Cara's little ones, and how them living and seeing godly parents preaching the gospel, living godly, holy lives, by the time they're 12, they're going to have an awesome foundation in the scriptures anyway. And so what a great blessing for if their hearts do succumb to the Lord, they're going to have so much knowledge and already be living that life to be great warriors for the Lord, if that would be what it is. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That's a wonderful thing to think about. And it goes against the world that thinks children should be children. No, we're supposed to train them into how to be young adults and to mature and be sober-minded. So, yeah, I like that, too. That's awesome. And, yeah, there is much to do for the father's business, isn't there? That's awesome.
Yes, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
All his commandments, even, you know, just working hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously laboring in the gospel and among the saints. So,
right.
I've got one more scripture passage here.
Mm-hmm.
Always good to read, even though we've read it many times,
right.
Obviously. But Matthew 25:14-23. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Yeah, and we know what happened to the one who didn't do anything, but I just love pondering on that and how it talks about the Lord of these servants going into far country for a long time. And so it's like the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us and left us with a lot of work to do. And so we want to be faithful. And mm-hmm. there's other scriptures about waiting and being prepared for our Lord's coming. And so it's encouraging. You know, we're not told anything like it's going to be an easy life. You just sit back and relax and enjoy your life. And
right.
even though it's a thing to serve the Lord. But yeah, also it reminded me of this scripture in Revelation, how we're still going to be serving him there. Revelation 22:3-4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That's awesome, because now we're serving him. He's gone into a far country, and now then we'll be in his presence serving him. So, yeah.
Oh, I like that. Good job.
We want to be found, you know, working hard while he's gone, faithful.
Yep. Being his laborers. And like
Amen.
You said, yeah, there is much work to do. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and we're being salt and light, shining his light, seasoning our speech with salt, being ready to give an answer, doing the works and the labors, working, what is it, 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, where it says, minding your own business, leading a quiet life, and working with your hands. That also,
yeah.
it all encompasses it. There's many good works, like you were saying, everywhere from
yes.
just our everyday earthly things we have to do all the way to the spiritual things in sharing the gospel, shining our light, helping the lost, loving our neighbor. And yeah, so there's good works to be done, and we do them all unto the Lord, heartily unto him.
Amen.
Yeah, so praise God. Well, that was really edifying. And Lord, yeah. Oh, did you have something?
No, I was just saying that.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed that. I hope others listening do too.
Yeah.
Right, right. Hopefully
yeah.
that was an encouragement to those of you who are listening. And Lord willing, we will be able to come back and do another one soon.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. We love you all.